Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics, anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture, each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Janna, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
We three brothers.
One sec. We once again thank you for tuning in and joining us on this sometimes cathartic journey. Let's dive right in.
Do you feel that there are more women now who are open to having those conversations? Or do you feel like there's still quite a number of women who have that wall up? Similar to the example of my friend, where if a guy comes over to ask a question, perhaps he may have came with an innocent question or innocent intent, but immediately that door gets shut and he's not able to have that rapport to build on his own knowledge and grow from there.
I mean, that is something that's like, that's trauma, and that is something that's highly personal. But there, like, if you, for example, because it's not only about conversation, it's also about you doing the work. Like, if you're curious, read. If you want to know things, ask questions to the people that accept it. Don't put emotional labor on people. Just be like, hey, you know, I've been thinking about this and I wanted to know if you have some time to talk about it. Great. Or like, hey, do you have some books that you recommend? Or hey, do you have some articles that you recommend? Or like, hey, I found myself in this situation. Like, what do you think? I felt this. And you're also totally allowed to feel rejected and whatever else. But you also have to, and by you, I mean men right now.
I know.
In this moment.
One of the sages directly.
No. Not at all. No, but literally, like, to come to know that transition is uncomfortable. It never is comfortable. Transition is really uncomfortable. And it's just the way it is. So
yeah, I think I don't know if this is the penny dropping moment, but I feel like I really understand feminism now a little bit.
And
before, you actually started saying things like, you know, it's nature, or it's the embracing nature, I was already kind of getting those vibes. And I think for me, I just feel like it's power. You said it. It's power. It's all about embracing power, and there's power in everything. Maybe there's, you know, and I don't want to use this example, but I'm going to use this example because there's probably a bunch of people that are like, oh, feminism's, they want to grow their mustache or their armpits. Well, that's power, and power to them, and power to the people.
It's power, yeah. I mean, it's power of choice. Yeah. I mean, I don't have mustache or armpit hair, but if I wanted to grow my hair, then I should be free to. Or if I want to do whatever I want, it's like, it's moving away from oppression.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, and that's why, like, for me, like, all of the people that are under a system of oppression are inevitably together. So this is why, for me, you can't look at feminism without looking at racism, without looking at classism and everything else. So there's that whole sort of political discourse. And then there's the individual stuff, which is like, okay, let me, first of all, doing inner work is so important, like being compassionate towards yourself. Like, if you're not compassionate towards yourself, you'll never be compassionate towards others. And this is why, like, a lot of oppressed group, like, find comfort in community, because they find people that have had same experiences and they feel understood and elevated. And I think we can do that for each other in the same way. And, like, we're all under the patriarchy. It's not that men, like, oh, white men are on top of, like, there's so many, everyone is under it. Like, this is a system.
One thing for me
growing up in the UK working class environment, I saw a lot of white guys. I grew up with a lot of white guys. I got a lot of friends who are white guys. And they're living in some poor, poor conditions. And I'm not trying to, you know, get the violin out, but I can just roll off a couple of examples in my head. One of them was, he's, you know, about to be made homeless, quite literally homeless. And he was a hardworking, decent guy, came from a decent working class family. And he was down to like his last few pounds and had to decide whether he was going to get something to eat or whether he was going to have electricity and heating in his house. And that's very, very, very common. That's not like, you know, I'm not trying to say, oh, whoa, white man. I'm just trying to say, as you say, we're all kind of underneath this system.
What did he choose? Did he choose the food or did he choose the electricity? Because can't leave us on a cliffhanger like that. You might choose food,
What would you choose?
This guy chose electricity.
What would I choose?
He was banging that PlayStation.
Oh, God. For PlayStation. No, man, I'm eating. I wrap blankets.
Yeah, eating, no?
I'm happy to choose the food and then just get a candle, maybe. I don't know.
Exactly.
Or just close my eyes. You know, I can sleep on a full stomach. I can't sleep on an empty stomach.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for sure. I mean...
So, totally agree with you. We're all underneath it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that obviously, like, different, we all have like different privileges and different experiences. And this is why, like, the personal and the political need to sort of like walk in tandem, or like, just, you know, like the work that you do is both personal, it has to be both personal and political. And I love this is why I write a lot on that. And it's not to say like, oh, the personal is political, but like there's systemic things like domestic violence and there's, but I think that what we do, like the mistake that we often do is we try to like rationalize things and we try to like use like vivid examples of what happens without accepting that like this is maybe something that is bigger than us and like we need to work with it. And this is why, like, I always say curiosity and humility. Let's learn from each other.
And there are some members of the community who are not in the space where they are ready to to help you. They're trying to heal their own wounds. So it's a broad spectrum, but for sure, to move forward, it's going to take working together, right?
In regards to working together or finding some sort of equilibrium or close enough, is it the is there a case of men are going to have to come a notch down, or are we going to have to raise the level of women up so then we're all on the same playing field? How do we, or how would you approach
it? What's the aim? What's the aim?
Equality.
Yeah.
Or what's the end game? What does equality look like?
Everyone's on the same level.
But I'm saying, is it that people have gone up, or the women have gone up, or men have come down? Like, what is equality?
I think, okay, so if you really like scales.
Yeah.
So this is the situation, like one hand and up. So you just stay still, be humble, be curious, ask questions. And like,
so women should level up.
Like, yeah. Level up.
Do you feel like that's something that's happening now or in today's society? Way off?
We're not way off. No, like, I mean, there's so many, women have so many more rights, but like, it's in Italy, divorce, and one of the reasons why divorce was introduced was because of, other than like extramarital affair, it was because of domestic violence. Like, all of these laws, there was like, RBG, the notorious RBG, she Like, there was women working in the 70s on, like, laws that were ridiculous. Like, women were not protected if they were beaten up or raped by their husbands and stuff like that. So this is, like, new things. Abortion is, like, Argentina just legalized abortion.
Mm.
I have friends that have had to have abortions illegally, risking their life, whoa, in danger. Like, there is still so much stigma around it. So, like, yeah, progress has been made, but, like, the mentality is still very much backwards. And and even the fact of, like, it's not that I need, for example, that women need men to, like, go down or stay at a certain point, but maybe we should all fight so that we all have the same opportunity, and not only, like, women, but also different races. Like, with racism, yeah, it's the same approach. Mm. With disability, like, this world is so ableist. Like, the norm, and heteronormative as well. So the norm is, like, a body that is able, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So all of the examples, everything you see in TV, advertise, like, the narratives we're exposed to are still extremely, like, one-sided, because, yeah, I mean, it's still radical. Like, today I was just looking, like, it's still radical to show, like, advertisements where there's, like, gay couples in them, or, and it's like, oh, wow, or, like, the Gillette, like, like, there's certain realities that are not known. I had a conversation with a trans woman that is actually a British politician, she's a British MP, and there were so many things I didn't know about her reality, and I had to ask so many questions, and I was like, look, I don't know, but I'm willing to find out, you know? And, like...
So you did what AJ did right at the start of the podcast.
Yeah.
Nice. I think it's the best way to approach something you don't know. Go in with... a famous writer said this. Go in with curiosity and humility.
Yeah, totally. Oh, is it me? Oh. I was like, yes! He was right. Yes. And in my opinion... In my opinion, it was a dude. I don't know why I was looking. I was seeing this. Whoa, you thought it was a dude?
Yo, the patriarchal yes, roots deep go you. Deep.
It reaches all of
us. All of us.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely have sexisms. Probably, I mean, definitely racisms,
like,
in me.
I instantly knew you were talking about her, and for you to think it was a man just really shocks me.
No, it's because It's because I saw James Baldwin. I don't know why.
I threw you off by saying famous, didn't I? Hey.
Yeah.
We're all on our steps, aren't we? We're all on our steps, all on our path.
One thing I wanted to bring up, because this is something I've observed in my life, had conversations with as well. I once had a conversation with a woman who was, she came from a Middle Eastern background, and she... Mm-hmm. was of the Islamic faith.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me how there's a hierarchy in feminism where...
Of course.
The rights are for white women, but...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that was completely new to me. I was like, whoa, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess you guys didn't know that was a thing.
But do you know what? It links directly with what we're saying, where you can't discuss these things without... including the whole sphere of gender, race, culture, historical indifferences. So, do you know, I didn't know that, but it doesn't surprise me. That's the case. Mm. But as we're talking, V's like, yeah, of course.
Yeah. This is something that's normal. You just knew that. And for me, it was like, whoa, this is a brand new concept that's been brought before me.
Well, there's a really great book called Feminism for the 99%. If you can buy it, it's like this small.
Okay, one more time for the listeners.
Feminism for the 99%.
Okay.
I have a reading, I can put the reading list, some reading for
you please,
guys.
Yeah, please, we'll add that to the description of the episode.
Let's add that to the description.
100%.
For sure. But this book, like, basically, because a lot of the feminists, like the lean-in feminism, which is the feminism of the Facebook CEO. I never even read that book because I'm just not interested. But
Are you recommending a book you haven't read? Sorry.
No, I'm not. I'm saying I didn't read that book, but there was this whole movement called lean-in feminism, which was all about, like, you know, if you're a woman and you want to empower yourself, like, just, like, get your seat at the table, like, push it, da-da-da-da-da. But that's, like, yes, that's for privileged women. That's for white women that get to, like, certain types of, not even white, privileged women that get to certain positions. And what about, like, the rights of domestic workers, the rights of immigrants, immigrant women, like, all of these things, like, it was completely ignored. And now, like, feminism has become much more intersectional. And this is why, like, for me, the Black feminist approach is the way to go. And it's pioneered by, like, beautiful writers that include, like, spirituality and, like, ancestral knowledge within their writing, which is so, like, beautiful and human and poetic and a joy to discover, you know?
Would you say you have a favorite feminist? Someone who, I wouldn't go as far to say to idolize, but someone who you, similar to these women that you are talking of, someone who you take examples from to be like, do you know what, that is the path that's so similar to my own, I'm going to match some of those steps whilst also obviously forging your own path.
I mean, my knowledge is definitely not complete and I'm constantly sort of learning, but I don't have one favorite. I have a few. So I really love this work that Minna Salami, she's actually based in London. She wrote a book called Sensuous Knowledge, which is a Black feminist. It's a Black feminist approach to knowledge, and it says, like, Black feminist thought for everyone. That's what the book is, and it's basically approaching knowledge in a different way, because her, like, sort of overarching theory is that the way we are approach knowledge is from a Euro-patriarchal point of view, and that is not the only point of view. And it isn't.
And can you repeat the name of that again, please?
Minna, M-I-N-N-A, S-A-L-A-M-I, Minna Salami. She's a friend. We met in a coffee shop because I was reading her blog, and I met her in London, and we were supposed to get a coffee and just ended up staying like 5 hours talking.
Shout out to Minna.
She's really, like, close. The work she's doing is incredible. Truly. And I recommend that book to you, and it's pleasurable.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. I'll give you, I have a link called, like, Poetic Forest of Knowing. And it's all, like, all of this stuff. Okay. And James Baldwin is another one. Albert Camus. Amazing. Like, the way they approached, like, things in, like, this beautifully poetic. And they talk, like, you know, these writers talk about rape and horrible things and death. But it's talked about because we need to talk about these things. Like, they are a reality.
Yes. I'm so with you.
But we can talk about them in a way, because what do people do? Like, okay, when you know that they're killing cows in, like, horrible ways, blah, blah, you don't watch the video and you just, like, detach yourself.
I watched the video.
Oof, horrid. Yeah, exactly. Like,
turned me vegan.
Are you vegan?
I've been vegan for, like,
for a minute
since the beginning of the year I've been vegan. Yeah.
Oh wow. Great.
Since November I've been vegan. I'm not. He saw the video and withstood.
I saw the video. No. Proceeded to go and
cut some rice and it mix it with some all the creatures in there, all of them.
Oh god!
Damn, this food tastes good.
No,
shame about them cows.
I had to tap out. Just thinking about it now makes me sick. Whenever I'm feeling weak, I just see flashbacks of like,
Yeah, the treatment's poor. But that one in particular, that's obviously they show you an extreme example to get that reaction.
This is how I know you didn't watch the thing properly. The issue is that's not an extreme example, that's the norm.
Okay, that's fine. Even if it is the norm, what they've done is they've edited it in a way, or managed to record it in a way which polarizes opinion instantly.
What are you talking about?
There's this.
Like, are you talking about a specific?
Yeah, there's this.
I saw more than one, and no, it's not. It's Dominion.
Haven't watched it.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's a raw look at the conditions that most livestock are kept in, which is just terrible.
It's like this whole corona or foot and mouth.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, obviously these things are going to happen. Have you seen the conditions?
The way they're kept, yeah.
And it's normal practice. The pursuit of profit.
Well, that's capitalism. Does feminism have a place in a capitalist society?
No.
Mm. That's interesting.
I really don't. I mean, I love how like direct it was about this, but but yeah, no, I really don't.
I don't know. I reckon some bigwig white guy could probably make money off of feminism.
Mm.
Oh, for sure.
There's probably people out there
There's so much pinkwashing.
Big wig white guys making money from feminism.
Yeah, so much pinkwashing. And
you think what's pinkwashing?
Yeah, true.
Pinkwashing. So you know what greenwashing is, Actually, today I saw the funniest meme about greenwashing, which is like, I can't even show it to you here. I'll send it to you guys later. But greenwashing is basically when big companies that have been doing a crap job at like sustainability and like have basically like fast fashion is like ruining this world, basically. And they're like, oh, no, we're working towards, like, being green. Or like, oh, yeah, we're using sustainable fabric and, like, all of these things. And
but they're still operating sweatshops who are dumping the oil in the rivers. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. So that's greenwashing.
Okay. So now pinkwashing is that every brand is now like, yes, these pants are for strong women or like, stuff like that. And you're just like, And that's where, like, that's the huge danger of feminism. And that's what so many people will tell you. They'll be like, sorry, not the danger of feminism, the danger of sensationalizing things. Just like this George Floyd verdict was just sensationalized. Everyone's like, oh my God, justice has been served.
Can I just say, I am of the opinion of...
What is that?
Why?
That's an African cheer.
What for? For the verdict.
Oh yeah. Amazing.
I hear you.
Amazing.
That's what I
want
to say.
I hear you.
More work needs to be done, don't get me wrong. More work needs to be done.
Of course.
But let's celebrate our wins.
Yeah. Definitely.
Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics. Anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture, each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Jana, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
I just heard AOC saying like, justice is not the verdict. Justice would have been if George Floyd was going home to his daughter today. And
true.
I agree.
Facts.
And it's not like that I'm going to be like, oh yeah, whatever. Like it's great, but like one black president doesn't change racism in America, or just like one woman more woman representation in politics doesn't change a sexist mentality, et cetera, et cetera. Like we need to
Done, but for sure you got to celebrate where you can. We should celebrate always, so joy. Hard, my man. Hears that, wherever he is in the other world.
Yeah, of course. Rest in peace.
Yeah, that guy's got a tough time in prison, though, hasn't he? As a police officer, you lost your job for killing this dude. Like, it's been sensationalized to the point where this is on a global scale.
I reckon he'll be kush.
Do you reckon?
I reckon he'll be kush. So, I mean, a lot of these... You got to see, it's not uncommon to have, like, Nazi supporters or empathizers within the US police force or any other.
Or just malpractice within the police
force. Man, there was this whole... One police officer, he whistleblowed. Is it whistleblowed if it's past tense?
Yeah.
Whistleblew. But,
Whistleblew. I don't know. Let's ask the writer. Is it
whistlebloomed?
The poet.
You should have had a glass of wine in your hand.
I know.
Whistlebloomed.
Why has it got to be a wine? Why can't it be a beer? Why has it got to be a wine?
He made that assumption. This guy from the... But he did say he's coming ignorant.
Poor AJ, guys. This is not wine. The shit
I drink wine.
Yeah.
I like wine.
Men drink wine.
I would happily have a wine here. Now, if he would have said wine here.
Rosé... That would have been sexist. I'm joking. I don't know.
This guy, police officer, he reported on his co-workers. They had a WhatsApp group where they would share images of them being abusive to black people. Mm. Oh yeah. God. And it went all the way up like the chain of command to like the top guys. These guys would go golfing together and be sending pictures, like receiving pictures and making comments like, haha, look at that nigger and all that type of stuff. Yeah. So because that's just, you know, the reality of the situation we live in, where there are a lot of people who, I say that there are a lot of people who would secretly believe that and secretly support him. So they'll make sure he's good.
Do you know?
They'll make sure he doesn't have too much trouble.
Do you know what my opinion is, right? And I will say that there's the perception that there's more of them than there is us, right? And I'm saying them as in the people that are very closed-minded and, you know, their opinion is the law, right? We need to oust all of them out and just put them on an island and just leave them there.
Oh, that would be ideal. I've always had this dream since I was a kid.
They may like that, though.
No, that's cool. But then we can have a nice, peaceful society, you know, where we won't have to address some of these problems. And it's not a case where you need to be taught this. Everyone will just be cushy.
Do you know why that's a nice and peaceful society, Mo? Because you've just got rid of the majority of society.
Good.
How are you going to walk all around the town and see 2-3 people?
Let's rebuild. This kind of sounds like rebuild.
That they will build better guns and whatever to come destroy you and take what they want.
Yeah, exactly.
True. That's when we just...
Because that's their agenda. They ain't about living
the capitalist model where they are. They'll just come back.
So
blow
all we need to do is just build a wall, stash some titans in there. Paradise, we're good. Simple.
Look at this. We've got the black Donald Trump out here. Build that wall. Build that wall.
I love how he sprinkled in Attack on Titan there as well. Hey, you're a guy, Mo. You're a guy.
Yeah, I was kind of trying to take it that direction. But hey, nah, I'm not on Donald Trump's side. Sorry.
He's about to. Yeah, crazy.
I don't know. On a note that you were saying, like, yeah, we have to celebrate our victories and joy. Like, that's another, for example, huge part for me of the feminist movement of, like, this, which, I mean, the feminist, let's call it justice movement, because, like, sometimes feminism people have a problem with it, but I don't care. Like, yeah. A lot of the time, I'm like, I'm not going to change the word. Like, if it's uncomfortable, change it.
You know, I get what you mean. And even for the purpose of this podcast, I don't think you should change it.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it is. Yeah. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to openly discuss exactly what this thing is.
Desensitize it.
Yeah, 100%. Desensitize. But also bring awareness to the levels of it. Because it isn't just that marginalized group of extremists.
There's hairy lesbians.
Hey, do you know what? Full disclosure, I don't mind it. I'll be honest. I don't mind it.
I support if that's your thing.
Mm.
Go for it.
100%.
I'm not, but sometimes I've wondered whether I'm conditioned to shave myself. I'm like, why do I shave? Like, because all my friends, like, like a friend of mine the other day, she's not even like a feminist or writer or whatever, but she had like a bit of hair, and I was like, peach oh my first. God, like just wax that. I was like, ew.
Whoa,
just
wax the peach
that. Whoa, the feminist was telling a woman to wax her
what
hair.
What is this? I know. I told her. She's my friend. And she was like, oh, why are you judging me? And I was I don't like it.
You've been conditioned.
You don't like it on you, but you don't like looking at it on someone else.
I don't like it on women. I don't like it. And yes, probably I'm conditioned.
You've been conditioned.
Most probably, yes. But I mean, I like it on Frida Kahlo. She's hot. She was hot. Frida Kahlo, it's a Mexican painter. She had a monobrow.
I feel like it's quite prominent, both the mustache and the unibrow. Quite prominent.
Yeah. But anyways, it's really like not about hair or whatever. Like everyone can choose whatever they want. But it's definitely about joy and celebration. And that's another thing that's in so much of this writing that I read and also write. By Black feminists who are like joy and celebration, like the capitalist society sort of suppresses joy because you're meant to like work until you get a minimum like pension and then you die and then your kids have to work like it's a cycle. And it does not involve pleasure, and like pleasure is a massive part of
the human experience.
Yeah, and of liberation as well.
I have a question, V. Now,
yes.
We told you earlier that we have quite a big family. We're amongst the elders of our generation and obviously going down. What advice would you give to some of the younger girls growing up in terms of growing up in this patriarchal? Can someone hook me up, please?
Patriarchal. Oh, man, I almost fell down the ditch too, man. Damn.
I know.
Maybe it's the gene. It's one of the chromosomes that was passed down to the both of us.
It's one of the chromosomes.
Yeah. So what advice would you give in this patriarchal society to better prepare them or to better prepare us to have conversations with them?
That I think is something I want.
You can ask them about their experience as women and girls, like just ask them how they feel, ask them how their heart is.
What about I've got a scenario. Joy. Sorry to interrupt. I've got a scenario.
Yes, please.
This happened in Ireland rather recently, where a woman, she got raped, and it was by like a middle class white guy. So the judge was like, I tell this story quite badly, but I'll hit the key points. She got raped. The middle-class white guy, the judge was like, oh, it was what she was wearing, which is why he wasn't guilty.
What?
And it was quite a controversial case. I've said it poorly, but if you Google those like lines, you'll find the proper article about it. What do we say to the girls? Obviously, it's wear what you want. Come on, it's your body, wear what you want, I don't care. However, there are monsters out there. I don't know. That's been something that's quite difficult for me to get my head around. Because I'm usually told by feminists, oh, well, you should know not to grab women. Okay, that's fine. But there's still monsters out there.
And their hunger is insatiable.
Yeah, but then are you going to, like, there's killers out there as well. Are you going to walk around with a gun because there's killers out there?
Help me figure this one out. Like, it's quite literally something I've been banging my head against. Like, I want to protect them, and they're my family members and whatnot. So obviously I want to protect them, not because they're girls or weaker or whatever. They're my family. What do I do? How do I figure this out? I educate men more, of course. I'll talk to men more, but there's still monsters out there right now.
Well, first of all, don't make them feel, I mean, I'm really like, I don't have a daughter, and like, I remember going to clubs and actually thinking that I wouldn't wear a certain thing because people would grab my ass, so I would wear something specific so that the ass grabbing wasn't like too annoying. See, when that, I went to a club here in Ibiza. Like, I'll be honest, that's fucked up.
That makes sense, but that's fucked up.
Yes. So, definitely don't tell them what to wear. Definitely don't tell them that what they're wearing may
not that they'll
be...
listen. They're all strong women in their own right.
Mm. Exactly. But if, for example, you're scared, okay, say you have a daughter and she's going out for the first time and you want her to wear whatever she wants to wear. If you're scared that when she walks home, she could be attacked or whatever.
Yes, very scared.
Then you wake up in the middle of the night and you go pick her up, or you pay for a taxi, or you make sure that she's safe in a way that's like uncomfortable to you. But also know that you can't, like, you'll never be able to protect.
Yes, I can do all those things which as are much as possible. Default. I can do all those things which are default, but women are still dying while these things have been done.
But men are also still dying, and
for sure. Like the biggest rapist in the UK, like UK recorded history, was a guy who raped men, and he's got like official longest recorded victims. So for sure, it's happening to men. I'm just asking specifically, what do I say to my younger family members who are women?
Well, if she asks you for help, then you give it to her. If she doesn't, you don't. Because it is not your job to protect. You're putting yourself in a position that is superior to her in some way, in this way we're talking.
Yeah.
But you see, the thing is, right? So if Oz is going out and it's, let's say, late or whatever, I'll ask two things of him. One, to message when he arrives to wherever his destination is. And two, to message when he's leaving to return. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other day I said to him, because he forgot, and I was like, yo, a message will go a long way, you know? Just a little, yo, I'm here. Mm. So it's not a case of I'm assuming power because of gender roles. It's I'm the oldest one in our generation. And in our culture, it's default my responsibility to look out for my siblings. In fact, if anything happens to them, the older generation all turn to me and say, yo, what the hell are you doing? You sleeping on the job?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. Then whatever.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah,
because it's like, does it make you feel okay or them? Sorry, Mo, go.
I was going to say, I feel like I don't think there's an answer or a solution. No. It is case by case, right? And there's only so much you can prevent. You know, there's so many use cases that you could say, oh, well, this could happen or this could happen. You know, every time you jump in a vehicle, you could be like, well, be careful because you could potentially, you know, have a car accident, or watch when you're driving. And yeah, it may be great to give that person awareness of it, but sometimes, you know, I feel like the power of manifestation and the power of maybe that energy is something that isn't necessary. So I think probably if it was me and I was in your situation, AJ, you know, and it was a concern of mine, I think initially I would have just a general conversation, or maybe just ask, you know, this is something that can happen, you know, it's a mad world out there. Then I would leave it.
The temporary answer I've got so far is make sure they all know martial arts.
Yeah, that's also a solution.
I hear that.
Yes, if you can protect yourself and you know self-defense, maybe that's the solution.
But also ask them how they feel safe.
For sure.
Mm.
For sure.
Like, do you feel threatened? Yes, no. If yes, why and what can I do to not make you feel like that? Like, ask them.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are experiencing this situation.
I think that would go
a long way in regards to them being able to articulate their ideas and feelings and develop that ability to articulate that, because who knows what could happen down the line.
Exactly.
We're trying to give them the best tools possible to step out into this mad world full of monsters whose hunger is insatiable. 100%. Mm. So just to be clear, have a conversation with them.
Yeah, because I feel that sometimes the message thing creates a situation of like, it's more for me to feel okay with it. I think there's like a subtlety of that, maybe.
Mm. I can understand why you'd say that. I can understand that.
But I do it as well. Like, us friends, me with my female friends, literally, every time that one of us is... Like, we always tell each other, text me when you're home, text me when you're home. But the thing is that it's problematic that we need to say that. Like, we're like, this is fucked up. Like, why? There's that additional level of worry. And it's a mental, like, that's a mental load. And it's the same, like, you can read, The Guardian has a really good article about the mental load. And it's about all of these things that women sometimes have to think about more, especially in the house. And also, like, for example, most contraceptive methods that are invasive are for women. And
yeah,
it has a huge load. Like, the IUD, I've heard some horrid experience of my friends that, like, bled so... Like, your bleeding goes more and, like, you experience, like, incredible menstrual pain. The pill, like, it fucks up your hormones and my appendix flew.
I've had those.
And then you get the guy who's like, oh, the condom kind of like makes it uncomfortable. It's like, well, fuck you. Like, then you're not getting any, like, you know? sorry for my French. Remember in the writer's deli, we had a Lil Wayne moment the other day about masturbating before you go have sex with a woman or something, or like,
So the whole concept of that is,
what was it?
I like where this is going.
I don't actually know the song itself, but we played it in the group. Is if you get that text to say, yo, are you up?
You like, up?
It might be a thing.
Hey, big head with that.
What you should do is masturbate.
Eggplant.
And if you genuinely still want to go see that person, by all means, go. But if it's just the lust that's pulling you...
Yeah, that's what
you,
it was.
It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time.
The impulse, the feeling of impulse. Yeah.
100%.
Ego versus love. Mm. I guess, yeah, like, what brings you to something? Is it a loving thing? Which doesn't have to be love as in, I'm in love with that person, but... A feeling of joy and care, or a feeling of like, oh, I need external validation and I'm horny.
Mm. I think that's a personal journey for each individual, though. I think
for sure
you have to have some of that. You have to. It's not that you have to. I think you go through that to truly be able to appreciate love, especially sex with love. I think there's a difference. I think there's quite a distinct difference between a quick wham bam and, you know, this is with all of me that I am giving you.
You got the motion. There's more motion in the ocean.
So romantic, AJ.
I was a tangent master not long ago. Now I'm romantic.
I was a tangent master because I was like, let's talk about casual sex.
But you know what? I fully hear what you're saying, AJ. When you look at the act of sex, one thing, I think we may have said it on the pod already, it's soul bonding. That's your intent and their intent, and going back to your DNA, you're melding the two together. Now, in regards to someone who you have a love and an affinity for, that's only going to heighten the experience for sure. Because you're able to be as honest with yourself as possible, therefore just making the experience that much more enjoyable. But I'm a single guy, so what do I know?
I think, like, also, like, the intention, you were saying intentional. I think it depends on why you... I don't even know. I don't want to say whatever I'm saying, actually.
Ooh, I think there's sex aside and then there's making love. I think there's a difference.
Yeah. Mm. But you can make love with someone that you sleep with one night. I think.
Yeah.
You can make love with someone you're not in love with.
Mm-hmm. But do you believe that the experience itself would be greater or more pleasurable if you were in love with this person? That's the question that I'm asking.
I think pleasure does not come from the other person. I think pleasure comes a lot from yourself. And then at least as a woman, like my relationship with my own pleasure is very important to achieve before experiencing it even with someone else. Not on a one-to-one basis, but like as in general women, because like we're not taught to feel pleasure.
It's like layers, it's like an onion. Yeah, pleasure and love is like an onion.
Look at Shrek.
I know the Shrek reference.
Shrek guy.
Oh, they got layers.
Hey, Okello here. This section is a space where we'll be sharing short stories, creative experiences, and art.
I'm Virginia. I'm a writer and poet, and this beautiful prompt was given to me by the middle child, Wizard King Oz. And it's called If Woman Could Talk.
If woman could talk, she would tell you about the women before her. The shamed and beautiful, the tender and powerful, the violated and resilient. She would tell you that her womb is covered in snowflakes from pushing life out of her. She would tell you that pain is something you embrace, not something you escape. She would tell you that there is power in receiving, that pleasure is a form of resistance, and she won't hide hers no more. If woman could talk, she would do it slowly. She would caress your wounds and pick flowers from your chest. If woman could talk, she would tell you that we are trees and that the moon moves the red tides of our cycles over and over again. If woman could talk, she would tell you what it feels like to make space in your body for new life. She would tell you that magic coexists with fear and wonder, that inadequacy holds her hand with nurture. If woman could talk, she would tell you that all our multitudes need caresses. Our tears must have acceptance. If woman could talk, she would tell you our sisters can teach us about power, that love is a choice that involves freedom and honesty. If woman could talk, she would tell you sex is not supposed to hurt, that you are not giving anything up. She would tell you it is simply exchanging. If woman could talk, she would tell you that birth is pain we don't endure, but simply breathe through. If woman could talk, she would tell you about the lie of suffering. She would reveal the truth that pain is transformation, only if you are willing. If woman could talk, she would tell you to marvel at her body, whatever shape it is. She would tell you that she has had to learn to do so herself, stripping layers of societal conditioning. If woman could talk, she would tell you about the forest of shame and appropriation, how she came out of it naked, and she opened her legs for flowers to grow, not for her insides to perish. If woman could talk, she would tell you about the countless times her body was used like it didn't belong to her, how the systematic violations are a consequence of testosterone battles and petty crimes, that this is something no woman would ever create. If woman could talk, she would tell you about the absolute beauty of silence rooted in agency. If woman could talk, she would tell you that she doesn't remember when your time became more important than hers. If woman could talk, she would tell you about the countless hours spent working for no money or recognition, that duties are misdirected, her time is not respected. If woman could talk, she would tell you that we are in a permanent growth state, that our roots remain grounded, yet we will never stop reaching for the sky. If woman could talk, she would say thank you to all those that came before her so that she could talk today.
With calmness and stillness, it comes to an end. We hope you found some gems and go away richer in soul and spirit. We're showing you the three paths of the sage. Your path is your own. Which path do you follow? Until next time.